that comes with it. And I'm going to refer to the ministry tonight because that is the scripture, the scripture and text that I have taken, but I'm not preaching to your pastor. Your pastor's not here. He's a good man. I'm not preaching to anybody that's not here tonight. I'm preaching to those of you that are. Now, I've been raised in the house of God, and I've seen this happen many times, and I want to talk to you about something, an illustration that is exactly as one of Sam's brothers. I can't remember who it was. I'm thinking it might have been Joel, but I'm not sure. But they were hunting an Idabel one time on some land, and if my memory serves me right, while they were out there hunting, they seen a panther cross the road down in front of them a long ways off. Curiously, yet still being very careful, they followed that panther. They followed its tracks, and finally it seemed like they'd lost them, so they came back to the road they were on and were heading back to the truck and just happened to turn around and look back down the road that they were walking on to see the same panther stalking them. We read here in the Bible where a young man of God, the Bible clarifies that he is young, so there's an inexperience that he has. This young man of God is sent by the Lord, and he's not sent by the Lord down, and there's no reproach on that, and it's needed, but he's not sent just down to somebody on the side street somewhere. He's not sent on by somebody to the hospital to visit someone. But he goes and he finds the king, King Jeroboam. King Jeroboam, see, has taken the high places in Bethel, and he has created two different calves for the children of Israel to worship. And so there at one of the places of worship, he begins to create an incense and offer incense before the idol that day. And while he is there, God sends a young man of God because nobody else, it seems like, will come. So he sends this young man of God, and this young man of God comes to this place and he cries out against the altar in the word of the Lord and says, "O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." And he gave a sign the same day, this saying, "This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." And so when the king hears this, the Bible said that in anger, he stretches forth his hand against the man of God that cries against the altar. And he calls upon he calls for his men and says to lay hold on him. And when he does, the Bible said that his hand dries up so that he cannot withdraw it. Praise God. And while he is standing there with an arm that has been stricken because he stretched it against the man of God, the Bible said that at that very time, the altar is rent and the ashes are poured out. Praise God. And the king then begs for mercy and says, "Entreat the Lord and speak to the king to the Lord that he would heal me." And so the prophet does that. And the Bible says that his hand was restored again unto him and became as it was before. So far, so good. This person, as we will call it, or this prophet, has been used by God. But when you are being used by God, it comes with responsibility. Do you hear me? Praise y'all gonna say amen tonight? It comes with a responsibility. And that responsibility is to understand that it's never you. It'll always be God. He must always be the one that is seen when you're being used of God, right? I mean, if I was to get up here and spend my whole message talking about what I've done and what I'm doing and how that I am being used and how that God is doing things through me, if you don't, you're easily misled. But there should be something in your mind that goes, there's something that's not right here. No matter how good I preach, no matter how strongly that I bring you the word of God, you must look at me and say, there's something that's not missing. And that missing link is humility. We must obey the word of God. And in order to obey the word of God, you must look at yourself and say, God is using me right now, because there's a lot of work here at this church that goes on. There's a lot of people that are being used at this church. This church, I'm going to tell you, is a powerhouse for God. But if it does not keep being a powerhouse for God, you'll become a sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. There will come a time when you will shake yourself and you will not feel the power of God. And when judgment starts, it will first start in the house of God. Hello. It will start in the house of God. And so as men and women who are used of God, we must be like this man of God. When the king says, come home with me, be a part of what I'm a part of. Do what I want you to do. We could paint this as the world, could we not? Be what I want you to do. This man of God said, no. God said for me to go home. He told me to go a different way. He said, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou comest. Because, my friend, when you are used of God, it comes with conditions. You hear me? It comes with conditions. There are conditions that you must follow. God has an ecosystem, if you will, that you must fall under. We have leadership. The man of God, the man that God led to this church, he is the leader. He will always be the leader as long as God has him here at this church. Hello. And there is nobody that should step in his way, no matter who it is. It's the same thing in the home. If we stay in God's ecosystem of leadership, whether you like it or not, ladies, the man is the head of the house. I'm going to preach to you, but that's the truth. The man is the head of the house, and I'm sorry. I really am. If you've got a weak husband that won't stand up or won't go to church or won't be what he should be for God, but nonetheless, you've got to honor him as the head of your home. Now, you've got to serve the Lord. You've got to do that, but you've got to honor, because that is what God told us to do. It does not matter what our emotions tell us. What matters is what the Word of God says. Because there are times, as someone who is trying to follow the order and the precepts of God, when you'll begin to feel like Samson, but you ain't got the strength Samson's got. And when your feelings and emotions come down and you're still in the place that you're, oh Lord, help me preach. When you're still in the place that you are in, if you have not followed the word of God, you will fail. You will be embarrassed. You will shake yourself and say, I wonder why it's not working for me. But when you stick with the way the word of God says do it, it'll always be right. It'll never return void. And you'll always be benefited by doing what God says. Hello. There is government in every aspect of life. When you begin to preach this and you begin to talk to people about these things, well, that spirit that is in the world of not coming under authority, that spirit in the world of not answering to anybody. Hello. But this man of God answers to God. He says, you know what? I've got to do what God says. I've got to be what God wants me to be. I've got to do it. He is in a state of awe. I find him here in a state of wonder at what just happened to him. Nothing has ever happened to him like this before. He is here in a state where God has used him in such a way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God has given him a window of opportunity to be noticed. But when God gives us an opportunity to be noticed, how should we take that? We still got to follow the leading of the Lord. The Bible tells us, amen, that he makes his journey. But while he is making his journey, there is a trap being set. God told him, go back home. Don't stop. Don't eat nor drink. Go home. But instead we find him, as I have brought you into this scripture and told you, right here, praise God, in verse 14, this older man of God that sets out after him finds him sitting under an oak tree. Now here is where this young man of God reaches the precipice. He has been on a mountaintop. He has been used by God. And now he is on a precipice. He has a choice to make. Am I going to follow God, or am I going to keep on or do what I want to do? And we see him here. He has stopped and took a pause in following what God said. You can never stop. Hello. Stop what God says you must do. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so I'll preach to you if the Lord will help me. Some of you don't know it yet, but I'm preaching right now. But the Bible says right here, amen, where we find him under an oak tree, praise God, that he is caught up with, amen, by this elderly man of God. Now I'm going to tell you what I feel like is happening right here. I feel like that previously, before this elderly prophet ever got to this place, that this young prophet is going down the road. He is wondering about what has happened to him. Can I say one of the most dangerous places you can get is after God uses you in something, praise God, or is put you in a position, amen, to be used, to where you stop and sit under an oak tree and you begin to ponder how good you just did the job. How good you are at doing the job. Because when you do that, you can't stay humble. Now, I'm not getting up here and I'm not talking to you about anything that has never happened to this old boy. There have been many, many times when I have walked away trying my best to try to feel something, praise God, that makes me feel good about what I just done for God. But you see, it is in my insecurities that I have found, I find myself going back to him. Hello. But when we feel like, yep, I did it this time. And you see, there are some people that have more abilities than maybe you do. There are some preachers that have more abilities than I do. Come on here now. They may be able to get up and raise the rafters, get people to shout all over the house. Amen. But if they walk away from that and do it in pride, they are wrong. Do you hear me? Praise God. I remember being at a place of, and I want to be careful here. And like I said, your pastor's not here. I'm not preaching on him. I'm just using the ministry because we're all involved in the ministry. Hallelujah. But I remember going into a place and a lady came up to me and her husband had preached the service before that. And she walked up and she said, oh, you should have been here yesterday morning. I mean, people were worshiping God at the time up there. She said, you should have been here yesterday. He tore it up. And the thought went through my mind, what did God do? What did God do? I feel like this man of God, I'm going to take my time, but I feel like this man of God sat down under this oak, this young man, as a young preacher. He sat down and he thought about this new responsibility that had been given to him. He had done what the Lord told him to do. He had been successful, and now he's feeling pretty good about it. And by feeling pretty good about it, he forgot that there is still a responsibility of humility that somebody that is used of God must take. When we do not follow the word of the Lord, When we do not follow the system that God has in order, all kinds of things can get all out of kilter. I might get in trouble for this, but I went to a church here not long ago. They will, and I'm not preaching for it nor against it, but they will hound you, from what I gather, if you've got Facebook. But when I walked up to a certain man in the church who's supposed to be a preacher, and he spoke to me, he didn't speak to me like a man. He spoke to me like a woman. Effeminacy is outside of the ecosystem. It is outside and beyond what is natural. Come on here now. Masculinity in women is beyond and out of the way of what is natural. Hello. So we have to be careful that that our own nature and our own personality does not pull us into something that God is not pleased with. Hello. We've got to be careful that we, even as I stand up here tonight, with the pastor not being here, I realize that even with me being a man of God, I have to preach the word of the Lord. But I still have to answer to Brother Sam Snow, even with him being gone. Because there is government. And I have to answer to God, because God told me, go preach. Hello. I feel like that this man right here, he got down, and the way that I feel like that I can prove that is in the scripture that I read to you. The older prophet comes to him and said, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? He said, I am. He's not just local John down there working in the field somewhere. Now he's the man of God. And this prophet, when he speaks to him of that, it puts him in a new office. And so immediately he is built up within himself, because he begins to think about, oh, you go help me. He begins to think about what I have done, who I am. And when he is, because when you're thinking about what God told you to do, you don't make a choice to go against what God said. But when you begin to think about yourself, somehow or another, the precepts of God's word don't matter no more. Oh, it'll be all right. It'll be okay. It'll be okay if I get a little bit out of the way. It'll be okay if I lose my temper a little bit. It'll be okay if I just show myself out. Come on here now. Amen. But when you are called of God, when you have a gift that has been given unto you, you must not abuse it. Do you hear me? I said you must not abuse it. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Well, I won't go there. Hallelujah. Amen. God does not serve us. We serve him. God does. You know, we live in a church world that constantly calls, amen, for God to do things for them. Hello. You know, the charismatic church is on this, and the television church of our day. It's all about God putting money in your account. God making you, making sure you make your car payment. God giving you a job that pays you twice as much as you already make. It's all about that. And you know what? It's creeping into the holiness movement. Amen. And I want to see our folks succeed. I want to see people, amen, do better. Amen. But I also know that in the perilous times that we live in, we need faith more than we need money. Hello. Amen. We need, amen, God. We need a revival more than we need food on the table. This is not just a feel-good religion. It is a religion and a purpose and a creed that we should have purposed in our heart. I am committed to it. I'm willing to die for it. Amen. I will do whatever I have to do to please God. You don't have to feel it out on how to please God. You have to go by God's word. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know you didn't expect this. We measure a man of God's preaching by whether it makes us feel good or not. Sometimes that's okay and good. I mean, if a man gets up by in the pulpit and bores us to death because he just don't have it and he hadn't prayed, okay. But if a man gets up and under the anointing tells us what's right and what's wrong, we cannot measure it by whether we like it or not. We have to measure it by the Word of God. Submission to God is not determined by our prayer life. Ooh. But it is determined by the substance of our prayer. Hello. What about the publican and the Pharisee? Which prayer did God hear? And if I know that if I keep remembering, amen, where God has brought me from, you see, and I'm sure that of course, she was kind of young then and then moved off and got married, but Sister Beth, she can maybe somewhat attest, and I don't want her to go by what her brother said and what her dad may have said, but, you know, I know that who I am, I have a very strong will. I'm a strong-willed person. And I've had God, amen, and I'm sure probably he hadn't got it all out of me. But I could tell you one thing, this back has been broken and fused several times by God. Because God can't use me when I won't listen to him. The Bible says that this man of God, he's here. Paul said, I don't want to abuse my ministry. When God helps me to preach, I don't want to abuse it. When God helps me to do something, I don't want to abuse it. Praise God. Some people, you as a preacher, you got to know when to stop. I've got to know, amen, when the message is over, it's time, it's done. It's done time. I can get up here and try to reiterate what I say. That ain't going to do nothing. I'm just going to lose you. There's preachers, amen, that have gone to churches, amen, and they've just stayed and it got so bad that, amen, when Jesus told them, said, look, if they don't accept, I know of one preacher that fell out with everybody in his church, so he just knocked everybody off the board, amen, had them all leave, and then when he was left with nobody, and these were the people that started the church, he turned around and went out and sold the church to another group of people. Well, what's the Word of God say? The Word of God says, the principle's there. Jesus said, if they don't accept your gospel, dust your sandals and move on. Hello. But here, praise God. Here in this scripture is a man of God, and he's at a precipice. God has put him on the mountain. God has used him. And now he's at a place where he is going from God did it to I did it. Or maybe he's going from, boy, I'm proud, so proud that God used me because I've got the ability. God has given me the ability. So his humility that he has goes out the door. There is nothing more detrimental to you, yet more precious, than when God gives you a certain amount of power. For those of you that are in the homeless ministry, you have a certain amount of power. You must not abuse it. You must do what God says do. You must go in the Spirit of Christ. Praise the Lord. Power leads to the abuse of power, though, many times. And the abuse of power will always lead to the loss of power. I know of a church right now that was running 200 plus people. They had a preacher that in my own personal desire, I would love to be able to preach half as good as this man preached. But the church became proud of who they had become. They became proud of the way that God was using them. Nobody could sing better than they could. Their choir was the best choir. Nobody was better than their preacher. And then there came the reckoning day When the man of God was called on the carpet in front of the whole church, in front of the board, he left being carried by his son-in-law out the door. But God was not done, because the man of God that had been there was not the only problem. The church also had to be broken. And even now we see where God is still putting things back together. There was so much immorality in the church that I could not tell you of it all while I'm standing behind this pulpit. But it all came because they became proud of what they were doing for God. It became a look at me. Look who I am. Look what I've done for God. Look at what I'm doing for the Lord. It's not that God don't want you to use you, but it is that God wants to use you for His glory. Praise God. Pride will take you on a journey. It will take you on a journey of immorality. It will take you on a journey, amen, that most people never come back from, until they are broken, until they have been highly embarrassed, until they get to a point where they say, I never would have dreamed it would have been me. But most of the time, when people are too proud to acknowledge who they are, messages like this just don't reach them. Let's go what the Bible says about pride. In Proverbs 8, chapter 13, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. In Proverbs 11:12, the Bible tells us, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Praise God. Verse 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Proverbs 14 and verse 3. The Bible says, in the mouth of the rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And Proverbs 29 and verse 23, the Bible said, a man's pride shall bring him low, and a furious man, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. This man of God reached a place of proudness, of pride. And so it is his time to fall. While he is there, I go back to the text, amen, that I gave you. I go back to the title of my message, Stalked from an Oak Tree. From the time that that young prophet stopped and began to look at himself, amen, rather than look at God, amen, somewhere out in the middle of that wilderness, a lion's ears went up. A lion became hungry. His stomach began to gnaw within him. He began to look for something to kill. That killer instinct in him began to move, amen, his being. And so he began to wander, looking for something to kill. And all of a sudden, amen, all in later in time, while this young man of God is going and happily going and eating, amen, and drinking with this elderly man of God, being lifted up in his pride, amen, the lion finds his scent where it all started, at the oak tree. And so the lion goes on tracking this man. You can outrun the inevitable for only so long, but if you get lifted up within yourself, if you rely upon yourself, you are only going to reach the inevitable. There is a lion that is stalking you. You hear me? There is a lion that's on your trail. He is seeking whom he may devour. He does not care who you are. He does not care how you pray. He does not care how good you sound. He does not come out here now. He does not care if you drive the bus. He does not care if you've got if you're the you have the best teaching ability out of any Sunday school teacher. He does not care if you're a deacon in the church. Amen. Or somebody from the homeless mission. Amen. All he cares about is he's got your scent, and he's not going to give up until he gets to you. You are being stalked by a lion. By a spirit from hell. You know, being used by God is sometimes a confusing thing. It really is. It's confusing in the sense where we feel so strongly sometimes to be used by God. We have a desire to be used by God. God chooses those that have a desire to be used by God, does he not? He picks us who desire to be used by God. But at the same time, going back again to that responsibility, sometimes when we step out on our own, because the gifts are subject to the prophets. That's what the Bible says. In other words, we are in control of them. We can abuse them. We can misuse them. And I know you've heard this before. Your pastor's a great preacher. He's a great teacher. But I know you've heard this before. But they can be abused. And when they are abused, it is because we have leaned unto our own understanding. And we have not acknowledged him. A church that is built up in pride will stop going to the prayer room. A church that is built up in pride no longer weeps. They just run. A church that is built up in pride says, it's not me, it's that one. I told you I wanted to preach something else, but I had to preach what God told me to preach. I've got so much faith in what God is wanting to do here at Old Pass. But be careful. Be careful. The more liberty God gives you, the more wary you must be, the more alert you must be. Perfect example. Today, I took my 13-year-old girl for the first time. I said, get in the truck, honey. I give her the keys. I said, now, don't use the left foot. Use your right foot for both pedals. The last thing I wanted was her hitting the gas and the brake at the same time. So I said, I want you to back it up, drive down this lane. We're out there in the field. Drive down this lane, turn it around, just barely give it some gas and get a feel for it. Come back up here and park it when I tell you to park it. If you want to see her first driving experience, I've got it on my phone. My phone's not here. I'll have to bring it back next time I come. She did great, but you want to know why? She listened to me. She could have said, there's a reason why I haven't put my 11-year-old son behind the wheel. She could have said, oh, Dad, he told me to do this, but I'm just going to do a little bit more. I'm just going to do just a little bit more. She might not hurt nothing, but then again, she might have. That's why it's so serious. And you're not looking at somebody that's never stepped out of God's way. You're not looking at somebody that's never went too far. I have. And I'm here just to tell you, be careful. You're being stalked. It doesn't mean you're out, doesn't mean you backslid, doesn't mean you're, God doesn't want to move. None of that. It don't mean that. But I'm telling you, be careful. You're being stalked. I know the story of a woman who was bowed down, well, in depression. Everybody went to church but her that night. She had some physical problems too. She said, she told her the story how that she heard footsteps come down the steps, walk over to her chair, stand by her chair. What's standing in the shadows right now, close by? When we, if we're not careful, and we try to get ourselves involved in things maybe that we need to step back into God's ecosystem, into God's way of doing things, into God's government, if we don't do that, we're out of the will of God. No matter how strongly we feel about it, we're out of the will of God. Peter Ramers lived in Brisbane, Australia. And in Australia, he was so scared and wary of crocodiles, scared to death of them. But he was a hunter. And so a lot of his hunting involved going through the marshes and a lot, but he was scared to death. But being so scared and so afraid, even though he was that and he watched every step he took, one day a 15-foot long crocodile that had no tail and only three legs got him. You want to know why? It became familiar with his hunting habits. It watched him constantly. It watched how that he would go at certain times to the shoreline and how that he would, and in that reptile's mind, somewhere or another, it calculated a way to take this man that felt like he was on guard. As holiness people, we feel like that devil can't get us because we wouldn't for the life of us go out and put on a pair of pants. The women, the men, we wouldn't for the life of us go and get a drink of beer. For the life of us, we wouldn't go do these things that we've heard preached about so many times. But yet our heart, while we raise our hands, while we worship, while we sing, our heart has a defect. And because it has a defect, there's a lion stalking. It's time for me to stop. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Pride takes a man on a journey. Psalms 36:11. It describes pride as a foot. Something that will take you somewhere. In Psalms 73:6, it's described as a chain. Because most of us that have pride don't recognize it, as I've already said, until it's too late. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread. Didn't God say not to do that? After he had drunk, didn't God say not to do that? And he saddled for him an ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. Didn't God say not to do that? And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way. You're on a journey tonight, my friend. And you're on a journey of decision right now. You're at a point where God has brought you to where you must analyze yourself and question, do I come to church for myself? You used to come for God. You used to come so that God to really see the power and the moving of God. You used to come so that God could touch you in a special way, so that God could nourish you, so that God could feed you, so that God could move on you in ways that you never imagined, but now you come. It's not about God anymore, is it? Oh, you say it is. You sing like it is. But it's not that way, is it? It's about you. It's about who you've become. It's about who you are. When I went to pastor, the first church I ever went to pastor, Brother Mike, I was humbled. Just in the fact that the Lord would put me there. I had such a love for them people. Wouldn't it be great if we got back to that again? You see, men and women that carry a burden for themselves will eventually carry it grievously. You'll not even know why you feel bad. You'll not even know why you're depressed at times. You'll not even know, why in the world do I feel the way I do? I think I'm doing right. But it's no more than God convicting your heart and knocking on your door saying, are you going to let me back in so that I can do this for you? Or are you just going to keep doing it the way you want to do it? You see, you can run parallel with what God wants, but parallel is not good enough. You got to run with God. Father in heaven, I pray, God, that the chains be broken tonight. I pray, Lord God, that lion, God, that was able to get that man of God because he stopped under an oak tree. God, if there's anyone here tonight, God, that at some point or another there was a transition in the glory of the battle, I pray, oh God, that you would hold the line back and give us enough time to not see ourselves, God, necessarily as we see ourselves, not see ourselves, God, as maybe those around us that we have put around us like a wall. Not necessarily how they see us. God, how do you see us? What does your word say about God, how we react to things, how we deal with things, and how we do your will? Right now, God, I believe, Lord, that there are those that are being stopped. God, somewhere on this trail, the line of Judah can come out and take control of this situation if we'll make room for him. As they sing tonight, if you're here in the place tonight and you say, preacher, what you said has helped me. What you said has helped me understand a little bit about myself. I didn't come to beat you down. I really didn't. Came to help you. I thought, well, maybe I ought to. God said, no, you preach that. Well, maybe I ought to just preach. No, you preach that. And I'm not sure exactly if even Brother Sam knew what he was saying, but when he called me and he told me, he said, you just preach whatever you've got on your heart. Let the Lord use you. That's what he said. I hope he's using me. But I want to tell you something. There's two things that are so hard to break through, and that's pride and bitterness. God can just about penetrate through anything. But I'd say if you can say that there's a hard thing for God to penetrate through, it's pride and it's bitterness. Who are you thinking about right now? Who's on your mind while you're praying? Oh, God, help sister so-and-so. God, help brother so-and-so. Is that you? Stop. That's what I'm trying to say. Stop. Pray for yourself. Pray that God will help you. All services aren't going to be like this. There's times when God has to bring us to a reckoning point. We have to make a decision. Are we going to go on in our own way? Or are we going to get back in God's way? Everyone that would, I want you to come and find yourself a place to pray tonight and seek the face of the Lord.